guys. This is Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt. Guys, welcome to this episode. We brought back an old school friend, Dr. Bristol Sorensen. Bristol, welcome.
Thanks for having me back.
Of course. Bristol, you were wanting to try ciders. And so we brought a plethora of ciders in front of you, and we want to talk ciders with you. Wyatt and I don't know a bunch about ciders, but we have enough that we think we can help you like ciders.
They're made from fruit, right?
I think so. Not vegetables, fruit.
Nice. Bristol, how are you now?
Fine, and you?
Not so bad.
So, Bristol, why is it ciders? Why is cider something that you liked or you want us to talk about?
Well, here's the backstory. I did not like beer, didn't really drink beer. I came on this show. You educated me. You showed me that there is a spectrum. There's layers. That there's all these different flavors. And I went from never going somewhere to order a beer or buying a beer or having a beer at a party to just a couple of days ago, I went to the Bohemian Brewery and wanted to order a beer to try it, to taste it.
And how was that, by the way?
It was magnificent.
Good.
I had a beer called the Nectar of the Gods, which was surprisingly, again, the darkest beer that they have on the menu. And it was a combination of a Viennese lager and a Chernibock.
Beautiful.
And I loved it. And it was like just delicious.
Yes.
And I just savored
it.
And I'm like, I remember thinking, I'm a beer drinker now because of this show.
so you're welcome.
That's awesome.
So then I thought, well, if beer has that wide of a variety of flavors and tastes and, you know, smoothness, crispness, all that kind of thing. A year ago, I was in Normandy, France, and had some French cider during the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and I thought it was really good. And so, but that's the only cider I've had. I'm like, I wonder if cider has the same sort of variety.
Well, so ciders are very popular in the UK and very popular in Europe. And I think you're brushing over the Normandy Beach thing, Bristol. Tell us that story. So, Wyatt, I don't know if Bristol's told you this, but her father happened to fly one of the aircrafts that dropped paratroopers on the day of the 75th anniversary of D-Day.
That's cool.
And so Bristol, her mother, and her brother went out there to watch this happen. And so, Bristol, I'll let you tell a story, but in a nutshell, basically, Bristol's dad helped fly this from where out of California, was it?
They started in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there was a fleet of DC-3 planes that were in World War II that came from all over the world. 10 of them came from the United States, and my dad is one of the very few people in the United States that is licensed to fly a DC-3.
No big deal, by the way.
So, he was invited to join this crew to fly one of the DC-3s from Denver. And then they made a series of stops. And because these planes only fly low and slow, they flew from Denver to Nebraska to Connecticut. And then they did a flyover of New York City. And then they hopped up from, you know, Greenland, Iceland, Scotland, and then went down to England.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year was the 75th anniversary of D-Day, and so the whole fleet of 40 DC-3 planes flew across the channel and dropped like
just
200
remarkable
paratroopers.
That would be so
onto the field to like reenact, like.
And what a glorious day that was, you know.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And
they had troopers storm the beach there as well, right? Because I remember seeing something about like the 75th Ranger Regiment, which was created for Normandy. For World War II, but they were first put into action in, I want to say, Normandy in like North Africa, and they like climbed the cliffs to the Pointe du Hoc, which is like a 200-foot, 300-foot sheer cliff that they climbed in full kit, which is like 45 pounds plus of gear.
Into bullets.
Yeah, into
a wall
into
of bullets.
Yeah,
a storm enemy of territory.
Steel.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
that would be such a cool, like, monumentous thing to see the reenactment of that.
Watching the pictures that Bristol and her brother were just flooding my phone with. It was, I was tearing up. It was beautiful. And we also had a party last month, and it happened to be in the day, from the year to the day of when Bristol was out there. And it was just so beautiful. I mean, seeing your dad be a part of that was so great. But again, the UK, Europe have great stuff out there, but ciders is one of them. Here we are doing the ciders. We have a bunch of it in front of you, Bristol. Which one would you like to try first?
Well, let's start with the only one that I recognize, which is the Angry Orchard.
Okay, so Angry Orchard. I think Angry Orchard is probably the most common.
It's the one that I think most people have tried, yeah.
I think, in my opinion, it's probably the Anheuser-Busch of ciders. It's just the one that everyone's familiar with. It's very easy to drink. It's very crisp. Made from apples.
Yeah, it smells like apple juice.
But so just for those who are wondering what cider is, you can, you know, people usually put cider with Christmas together, you know, seasons, holidays. It's basically fermented juice from apples. That's the definition of ciders. You can do other things as well. This one, 90% of them are usually apples or apple concentrate. And so, I mean, simple. I think ciders are easy. But this one's a traditional one. The you can off the nose, nothing but pure apple. It's like apple juice, but with alcohol.
Yeah. You know, in the little bit of research I did into ciders, I noticed that if you read stuff from the United States about ciders, it's all hard cider because cider is different. That's like, you know, whatever, the hot Christmas drink.
Yeah.
In Europe, and specifically the UK, if you say cider, it doesn't mean hot Christmas drink. It means let's go drink some. To us, it's hard cider. To them, it's just cider. Mm-hmm. They're like, hard cider? What the fuck is hard cider? It's just right. All cider. They don't have apple juice that isn't boozy, is what I'm taking from that.
Right.
Let's move to the
fucking UK. Makes sense. But a study found that one U.S. pint has about 20.5 grams of sugar.
Whoa.
So that's about 5 to 10 times more than the recommended sugar intake. But that's why ciders, I think, they have added sweetness to it. I mean, this one's super sweet. This one tastes like apple juice. Doesn't have any bitterness or tartness to it. I taste nothing but sugar.
I can get a little tartness there kind of towards the end.
But is it that apple? You know?
I think it's just like a crisp, green-ish apple.
But sweet. Very sweet.
It's like a carbonated apple juice.
Yeah. But what do you think, Bristol? Is this one compared to the one you had in Europe?
Yeah, this is very sweet. It's heavy, sweet, and it tastes like the Mormon toast on New Year's Eve apple cider.
Martinelli's.
Stuff.
Martinelli's. Yeah, that's right. Like, Martinelli's.
We're having sparkling cider instead of champagne. Mm-hmm.
Put your pinkies up, but there's no alcohol in this, but it has bubbles. Yeah, you're right. So hard cider typically has 12 months shelf life. The alcohol inside doesn't really go bad, but the apple they use can go bad. That's a little interesting fact about ciders. But Bristol, I would like to – let's vary it to the Stella. Stella came out, which is funny because last time we had you on here, we did a Stella Artois Midnight Lager. And Wyatt and I had never tried it. Mm-hmm. We weren't a huge fan of it, if I recall.
Yeah.
But this one's a cider. This one comes from Belgium. This one is supposed to have spicy oranges and flowery almonds.
Ooh.
So I've been very intrigued to try this one because – it's Stella, but it's instead of spelling cider, you know, C-I-D-E-R, it's C-I-D-R-E.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
Hey, cool. Another thing that I read about ciders that I thought was interesting was in the beer world, we take a lot of beer styles from Europe, specifically, again, the UK, and we make them just way more intense. Like, if you get a British brown, it's going to be, you know, malty and bready and mildly hoppy. If you get an American brown, it's going to be, like, tons of malt and tons of hops. And it's just like, oh, hops, malt, just, like, beating you up. So much more flavor, typically, right? American IPAs versus British IPAs, same way. Way hoppier. American pale ales versus British pale ales. Again, like, Americans just take all of the British beer styles and just like turn them up to 10, mm-hmm. right? Like, fuck that. We're going to turn up to 11. Let's go.
And I think that's Americans.
Right.
In a nutshell.
But with cider, we've done the exact opposite. In cider in Europe, from what I understand, just my general reading, I've never really had ciders before, and I've never been to Europe to have ciders or anything like that. But typically ciders in Europe and in the UK, because like that's where most of the reading I found was from, because, you know, it's in English as opposed to other languages.
Mm-hmm.
Ciders in the UK are typically drier. They're not as sweet, and they drink more like a wine. They're fermented for a little bit longer, so they're going to have a higher alcohol percentage, because ciders can range anywhere from like 3% on the low end to like 14-15% on the high end, like a wine. And so a lot of the ciders in the UK drink more like a wine. They're going to be higher alcohol percentage, a little bit drier, not as sweet. And in the United States, they're almost always around 5% ABV, and they're almost always way sweeter, not nearly as dry. And like in the UK, they're usually more flat, whereas we drink ours cold and sparkling. Theirs are flat and warm like a wine, which I thought was interesting.
And that dryness taste is just lack of sweetness. So when people say dry wine or dry cider, dry is just lack of sweetness.
Yeah. This one smells interesting on the nose. It smells a little Belgium-y.
It smells beery.
Yeah, it smells like, you get that Belgium-y smell, mm-hmm. which I think is a pleasant surprise.
Which it threw me off, and I like it over this over the Angry Orchard.
With Stella beer, I get a nice skunky, similar to like the Corona, like degraded hop kind of smell. I usually get that in Stella. And this is just nice.
I like this one. Bristol, what do you think about this one?
I like this one too. This tastes more similar to the cider that I tried in France.
So not hella sweet like Wyatt was saying.
Yeah.
Goes to 11.
Like, it's very like clean. It's This just has like it's very like crisp.
Crisp is a good word. I think refreshing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Refreshing. I think it has some of that interesting Belgian funk, like I get a little bit of bubblegum.
It has a little bit of funk to it.
Not a lot, but a little
and
bit.
And it does come in a clear glass.
I would like more. I would like more of that bubblegum, kind of like Laffy Taffy mm-hmm. flavor that you get from like that funky
which
Belgian.
We have a couple importeds that might have it. Which, do we want to delve into the importeds or would you want to delve into locals?
Let's stay domestic and then head overseas.
Okay, so let's do domestic. So Utah has, there's two from Utah that one I have not had. It's called the Stinger. Stinger is, if I recall, it's out of northern Salt Lake. Wyatt, go ahead and read us the bottle, would you?
Don't get stung. Please drink responsibly.
Boom. Stinger. How you doing? Stinger Hard Apple Cider is from the Hive Winery in Utah. It's gotten great reviews locally. I couldn't find the one that should just Stinger, but this one has huckleberry in it. So this one's a little flavored. This one should be just fine. But we'll see how it is.
The Hive Winery. Have you had any of their wine?
Negative, no.
Me neither. I got someone a bottle of wine, and I can't remember who it was from the Hive Winery, though. They had a rosé that I picked up at the liquor store. I don't remember who it was for, though. I should have.
But again, out of Layton, Utah, Stinger Cider, out of the Hive Winery. We look at it, Bristol. What do you think about it?
Well, it looks like huckleberry flavor.
There you go. It does have that pinkish hue, right?
Rosé.
It does look rosé.
And it's very, very bubbly. Mm-hmm. And
interesting smell. Purple.
Founded in 2010. This one, Be in the Loop for the Hive brand company, the Hive Winery.
There's a weird, like, almost cloying kind of
It does
fruit
have
nose
that.
To that. I don't know what it is. I imagine that's the huckleberry. I've never eaten a huckleberry.
It smells funky, like bad funky.
Yeah, yeah, like somebody might have messed up funky.
Mm-hmm. It tastes mustardy.
Oh my gosh, it totally does. I was like, what is
like
that?
Like yellow mustard.
Oh, okay, yeah. It finishes with that for me.
Do you get that? Like, am I just making that up?
No, mustard. That's mustard. Good
interesting.
Call. I wouldn't have picked that up if you hadn't said
Well, I use
like
mustard on sandwiches.
Right
you know what I'm saying? Like, this should go well with a broth right now.
Yes.
Right?
Dude, we should.
I have never drank something and said, huh, that tastes like mustard.
It does taste
not
mustard.
Once. Oh, my God.
Yes. Not
that
great
is
with
surprising.
Some broth.
This is the best broth beer we have had on this show to date.
Dude, talk about pairings. We're going to do a barbecue episode, and we're going to bring this to pair with brats.
Wow. I mean, they're wine. Yeah. They've for 6 years, from 2013 to 2018, they've won best of state in their wine. However, I'm not familiar with, you know, this product here. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I get that mustard on it, and it's off-putting because when I want to drink cider, I think a little bit sweet, a little bit of apple, a little bit of tart. I want that well-balanced. But after we said mustard, I can't get that out of my palate.
I can't get that's it. I was expecting it to taste like honey.
Yeah, the hive?
Yeah. I was expecting it to it's like little bees are stinging the fruit. And interesting. The thing tastes like honey. And
right, because the hive, you think... You know, and that to me makes sense.
All I can think about is hot dogs.
So they had a right. They had one called the Mint Stinger, which got a silver medal in the international wine competition. So they have good stuff. They really do. I think this one's probably old. This one I did get at the liquor store, so it's been sitting for a while. You know, so I unfortunately not a huge fan of this one.
No.
But let's try cleanse our palates with another one. This one let's say we go Mountain West. A Mountain West has
we've got three.
Yeah, so Mountain West Cider is made in Utah. We sell this at our brewery. This one is very – I've had it before, and they have – I have three in front of you. I have the Ruby, which is the original hard cider. Then we have the 7 Mile, excuse me, which is the Sessions hard cider. And then I believe I have the Cottonwood, which is a dry hop cider. And Bristol, I got that one because dry hopped is a certain technique that I want Wyatt to go over with you. But are you familiar with dry hopping?
Negative.
Wyatt.
So let's pick one, and we'll crack it open, and we'll talk about it while we taste this cider.
All right. Well, I'm noticing a big difference in the alcohol content here.
Between the Sessions the 7 and the original.
Mile is the lowest amount with 5, and then the Ruby and it looks like the Cottonwood both have 6.8.
Right. Good call. So Session means, in the beer world, I assume in the cider world as well, that it's lower alcohol percentage. If you see something that says Session, it's just going to be a little bit usually milder in taste and then also, you know, milder in alcohol percentage.
Huh. Well, let's start off with that.
Okay, so we got the 7 Mile. Yeah. From Mountain West, this one is the Session Hard Cider. This one, 5%, light, refreshing. We'll see. It's named for a canyon in Utah, the 7 Mile Canyon in southern Utah. It's a very popular, you know, I remember going there, and there's slot canyons that we used to go to. Yeah, my grandfather and I used to go down there and fish. So the cool thing about their website is you can click on Discover a 7 Mile Canyon, and it kind of gives you a little synopsis of the 7 Mile. Right. It's pretty cool.
That smells pretty good.
I can't get that mustard out of my mouth.
Almost clear.
Yeah, super light colored.
Yeah, it's looks like some. Yeah, I mean, compared to that red one, it's pretty. Looks winey almost.
Yeah.
Oh, super dry. That's good.
It's like lighter than white wine.
Yeah.
It's really light.
It's very like white wine.
It's very dry
flavor to me.
There's not a bunch of sweetness to it. Beautiful tartness. It's not overwhelming tart.
No.
I think Sessions nailed it. I think when I say Sessions, it's beautiful Sessions.
Well, now I'm curious. I want to try their regular hard cider and see how it compares to this. I wonder if it's still as dry.
Let's open it up.
This is really mellow.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're not too much, like wine's got, 14% typically?
Yeah.
If you want to just narrow it down and keep it, I think going for this would be a great kind of light dinner, you know, on the patio kind of a drink beverage.
With like... on the patio as the sun is setting. This is
beautiful.
Wherever you would pair white wine,
especially
this
at this time
well.
Of this time of a year, you know, kind of beginning of summer.
Yeah, dry and tart. I'm loving this. This is nice.
It's easy to drink.
Yeah,
very crushable. So let's go to the Ruby. The Ruby is the OG. This one's the crisp 6.8% hard cider year round. So this one we sell this one quite a lot. It's named for the Ruby Canyon, which encompasses 25 miles of the Colorado River between Utah and Colorado. Beautiful.
Pouring it, I'm seeing the same color.
But Bristol, I'm fascinated with how your palate has grown in the past few months. Just how we went from not liking beer, you're a tea drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Go from tea kind of liking beer and you're kind of liking ciders here and there. Are you much of a wine drinker at all?
I'm not.
We might have to change that. I mean, we've changed your beer world.
I would think as many times as I've been to Europe and that I lived in California for a decade that
you
I would
lived
be a wine...
in Europe for a while.
I did, yes. And on a, after okay, so after I had that lovely beer at the Bohemian Brewery, I was thinking back to all of the places in Europe that I've been that are known for incredible beers
right.
that I didn't try because I wasn't a beer drinker. And now I'm like, oh, got to get back to the Czech Republic, got to get back to Germany, got
to
get back
to Belgium.
Yeah. I'm like, now I could go there and have a completely different experience.
Yeah. And that's what Holly and I, because Holly wants to travel so bad, and so do I. And going to Europe and trying that culture is whatever it is. And Holly and I were talking about it, you know, if I'm going to Thailand, I'm trying the what you do in Thailand. If you want to go to the Philippines, I want to know.
Kickboxing?
Sure. But like if the culture has that, let's try it out. You know what I mean? Like they're doing it for a reason. They've been doing it for centuries, whatever. If this culture has something, why not try it? That's why people are always like, oh, would you eat alligator if you went to Louisiana? Hell yeah, I would.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like I'll try anything twice.
Alligator.
I say that half-heartedly. Yeah. What do you think, Bristol?
I can already tell before I even taste it that this is stronger.
Yep.
But surprisingly, it is still white. I mean, it threw me off because it's in a dark brown bottle, whereas the other one's in
a
clear bottle.
So the bottle, Wyatt and I learned this one. The darker the bottle, it basically is there to help preserve from UV rays. The more clear the bottle, the chance that UV can change the beverage itself. So if you ever had a Corona, you have Corona Familiar, which is in a brown bottle, and they have Corona Premier, Corona Extra, Corona Light. They're all in the clear bottles, and they have kind of that skunky or what I call funky smell to it. It's kind of, skunky is the best way to put it.
It's like a skunk.
But you take out, Corona Familiar, you have that kind of dark bottle that encapture everything, and it doesn't have that skunkiness to it. It's actually a beautiful beer.
The skunk flavor comes from degraded hops, which happens when sunlight hits the beer. And it can take literally less than 2 minutes for a beer to develop skunky flavors from sunlight. But I think this cider perfectly shows the difference between a session and a full-strength, beverage. Mm-hmm. Because
it's got a little bite at the end.
It's just got more. It's literally the same flavor, but more.
And that alcoholic, that more ABV gives it that, like, it pushes the flavor just to next level. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's still quite mellow.
But, yeah, it's not intense.
But it has a more intense smell and a little more intense bite at the end.
I like this one.
It's really tasty.
I mean, Mountain West does a great job.
Yeah.
Let's just open the dry hopped one. Why not?
Right. Well, and then we could talk about dry hopping as well, right?
Yeah. So we know – Wyatt and I are familiar with dry hopping because we have brewers we've worked with and talked to that dry hop significantly. So this one, bold, dry, 6.9% by ABV. This one is called the Cottonwood, and Cottonwood is a name for the Cottonwood Canyon in Utah. This one, I'm excited to try. I have not had this one, but I'm glad this one is available.
The only cider I've ever had before was made by Incline, and it was a dry hopped cider, and it was fucking delicious. I'm excited for this. I love dry hopping because dry hopping adds so many cool flavors. You know what hops are, right, Bristol?
No.
No? Cool. Well, that's good. Hops are one of the main ingredients to beer. I think there's four main ingredients that you're going to find in beer. There's water, yeast, barley, or some sort of malt, and hops. So hops are like one of those four things. When you make beer, the water is going to kind of like carry all of your ingredients. Obviously, it adds, the liquid element, right? You've got your malt, which is like whatever grains, but usually a malted barley, which is like where it sprouts and then it's put in a kiln and roasted. And you basically take those and grind them and you put them in this thing called lager tun or a mash tun, and you basically make like hot cereal. You just pour a bunch of hot water in there and mix it together. It's really basic, and it helps break down the starches into sugars. And depending on how like dark the malt is, depends on how dark your beer is going to be. If you have something like a Pilsner malt, it's going to be really light and make a Pilsner beer. You could have something like a chocolate malt or like a roasted malt or a roasted unmalted barley or something like that to make a stout or, you know, whatever, darker beer. And so that adds sugar to the beer. You put it over in your boil kettle, and that's traditionally where you add hops. And hops help to balance the sweetness, because if you just have malt and you don't have any hops, then you're going to end up with a really like cloying sweet beverage, because it's basically just sugar water that's fermented. We add hops to balance that, because hops are like naturally bitter. They're really similar to like a pine cone.
And they look like a pine cone.
Yeah,
they have like that coney kind of look.
Yeah. Hmm. But they're really bitter. They have a wonderful aromatic smell. I get a lot of like citrus, and you could get like pine or
floral, fruity,
tropical. Sometimes you can get pineapple or coconut even just from hops. There's so many varieties of hops. They're super interesting.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So when you add them in the boil, you get a lot of bitterness from them. And depending on when you add them in the boil, you'll get more bitterness or more aroma or more flavor. Dry hopping is where you're like, okay, cool. Well, we added hops in the boil, but we want more hops. So we're going to add hops after it's over while the beer is fermenting. So you take it over and you add yeast. Your beer is fermenting and you're like, cool, I'm going to add some more hops. And that's how you get a dry hop. And what dry hopping does, it takes those hops that usually balance it with bitterness. And it instead doesn't – the boiling brings forward alpha acids, which is like what triggers that bitterness. Since you don't boil them, you get all of the aroma but almost none of the bitterness. So you'll get aroma of citrus and pine and, you know, whatever you get right from hops depending on the type of hop. But you get a ton of the aroma without any of the bitterness when you dry hop, which is one of the cool things. And it also helps to preserve the beer. Hops have a preserving quality that doesn't let bad bacterias come in and fuck with your beer or cider in this case. They're pretty cool. It's pretty interesting stuff.
In a nutshell, Brist.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's an art to hops and how they're used, and there's an art to forming beers and ciders, and this is one of them right here. So I'm excited. So we've had the sessions and the full proof ones. This one's the dry hopped cider.
You get a little bit of citrus there. Not a ton, though.
I mean, off the nose, it smells pretty good.
Yeah, it smells very similar. Like, the hops don't really change a lot of things for me.
I see that it has dry hop because at the end of the palate, it finishes kind of with that.
Yeah.
I get more apple to it. You guys get more apple?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, I think the dry hopping helps bring forward more of the fruit.
Right. Which is beautiful.
This one, I think, has the most flavor of the fruit.
Yes.
Agreed.
But it's because I think it's because of the dry hop.
Yeah.
They add in the dry hop to give it more of that aroma.
Yeah.
And it plays with your palate a little bit.
Yeah, that's really nice. This is – the Cottonwood is definitely my favorite of – the Mountain West ciders. And I think it's my favorite cider we've had so far.
And that's local. And guys, if you are in Utah, Mountain West have a bunch of ciders available. They have one more we haven't talked about. Let's see if I can find it real quick.
Their bottles look beautiful too.
Yeah, and they're
full pints.
Big, yeah.
Yeah.
And I like that. They have the Desolation, which is the prickly pear hard cider. I saw that one, but I didn't pick that one because I thought it would be overkill. But they do have the four ciders, which is great. I love it. So, Bristol, out of the three from Mountain West, which one was your favorite?
The dry hopped.
The dry hopped.
Nice. Cheers.
I think we all agreed on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super good. I think we could sit down and drink this all day.
Well, okay, what's the best type of, you know, situation or environment to drink a cider for you guys? When you guys think cider, what are you thinking? You thinking golf course? You thinking beach, you're thinking mountains, you're thinking holiday.
I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm seeing like dinner party.
Okay.
You know, like little classier, like really tasty, well planned out food. And instead of drinking wine, having a cider.
Okay.
I like that. Because sometimes wine's just a little too much. Like, I think wine – sometimes I love being wine drunk. I'm not trying to get drunk, but that wine drunk, it's like that nice, calming, almost – and I say this hesitantly, but sleepy. You just feel chillaxed, you know? But ciders, I feel like, have that same they want to be wine almost, but they're not quite there.
Yeah,
this is a different summer drink, I think.
Interesting. So I was going to say, for me...
I think fall for me.
Yeah, I was going to say literally, like any season but summer is my cider. It would be a good cider season. Summer's too hot. I don't think that ciders pair well with the heat. Like, if I'm hot and I'm like a little bit sweaty or in a pool, I don't think a cider is the way to go there. I could see how you would think that, and initially... I was thinking to myself when David said that, I was like, I think this would be a good barbecue. And then I like, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, no, like late fall, winter into spring until about mid spring. And that would be about the end. As soon as it starts to get regularly past 80 degrees, that's when I would probably back off the ciders, except for the one that tasted like mustard. That would be a great summer barbecue.
That one is brats worthy. You have to have brats and have to have sauerkraut with it.
Brats worthy.
Like Bratsworthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the rest of them are winter, when spring.
I think of it, it's fall. End of fall, beginning of winter. Dude, Thanksgiving would be great. Perfect. I'm thinking when the colors are changing, the leaves on the trees are changing, when the mountains out here have that kind of rustic orange and red and yellow, cider time.
Yeah. Well, that's like when you eat apples. For me, like eating apples is, like I grew up, we had a bunch of apple trees, and that's when we would eat apples, is when the apples were in bloom, right. Which was like October, September, and then they would stay good for a little while.
September's a great month for that. Yeah. It's like, I think lumberjacky, right? You got Babe the Blue Ox next to you, and you have a cider in your other hand, and an axe in the other. Like, that's what I feel cider worthy, kind of. That's how I picture ciders. Yeah.
I want like a jacket on if I'm drinking ciders. This is right there in the same as like that very first winter lager that we had.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Similar.
The light similar jacket.
Time. Yeah, light jacket time.
Yeah. Wouldn't mind golfing with this.
No.
Just saying that.
Fall golfing, though, with the leaves.
Fall golfing.
This would be the perfect fall
golfing. Regardless, golfing. Fuck, I wouldn't mind golfing with ciders.
The perfect fall and spring golf.
Falfing.
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 Let's go falfing.
Okay, so I want to move October. To, we have two domestics, or excuse me, two imported. We have the Strongbow Apple Cider, which is European, off, and then we have. Hope I'm saying this one about Magners. Magners is an Irish cider. Mm. So I mean, Bristol, which one sounds more enticing to you?
Well, this Magners is telling me that it's made with 17 varieties of apple.
Jesus,
whoa. Take and it easy.
Calm it down, Bristol.
So, thanks to that sounds like a thanks to science and GMOs for giving us 17 varieties of apples.
Boom!
Right?
There we go. Yeah. So Bristol has chosen the brief history of Magners Irish cider, also known as please. Bulmers.
I'm tapping it.
So here this one, it comes in a can. It is from the Irish Republic. It established in 1935 from a local town called Clonmel, named from thank William Magner. So they started making ciders out there. Well established, beautiful. I mean, it looks good to me. I haven't tried this. I've never tried this before.
I'll bet he went by Billy. Just saying.
So Bill. Good old Bill came out. Again, they call it Bulmers, but it's Magner's is the official name.
It's Billy. Called him Billy's like that's too formal for me. It's Billy. Right.
This one does have the apple look though.
That yeah. looks kind of like almost pink.
Apple juice?
Like a little, you know,
pinkish hue to it.
Got a little pinkish hue to it.
Wow. On the nose, it is everywhere.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of variety. Yeah,
I'm getting flowery. I'm getting fruity.
It smells like pollen-y.
Yeah. I like the flowery description.
It's an orchard. It's an entire orchard.
It does smell like you're walking through like Thanksgiving Point and all the flowers are blooming.
Yeah, yeah.
Springtimey.
I can see it. I like the orchard description. That really put me there. That was good.
Kind of like the orchard walking through. Babe the Blue Ox next to you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I like
don't
it.
I don't know where to go with this.
I like it, but I don't like it.
Yeah, it's sweet and it's super basic.
But it's basic, but it's sweet enough where I feel it's naturally sweet. It's like almost an apple that's almost going to go bad. You bite into it.
Yeah.
That and kind of like flavor.
A little bit softer than you want it to right. be. Just a little bit.
Because you waited too long to eat that apple. That's what it tastes
like.
It's got like
that little bit of wrinkly skin.
Yes, it gives me a little nostalgic kind of, you know, good memory taste to it. But I don't know how to pinpoint it.
Yeah. This is another of those, I would say this is like the day after Thanksgiving. Like this is great with leftovers.
Yeah, leftover beer. But it almost, that aroma we got off the nose, it lingers on the palate. It's not a bad thing. This is not a bad cider at all. But I can see.
There's a lot going on in there.
Yeah, there's a lot. To me, I like the ones we drank earlier because it's just straight to it.
Yeah.
You know, this one's messing with it a little bit. I have a little bubblegummy inside of it.
Yeah, yeah. And you get a little bit of that, like, funky kind of smell on the nose.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's just can't be easy to ship cider from Ireland to Utah.
The more I'm drinking it, and again, this could be better fresh in Ireland.
I'll bet.
But I think this one hugs my tongue and my palate enough that I do enjoy this one, actually.
Yeah. I'm still getting some of that funk. Like, it lingers.
Oh, it's still on my palate.
Yeah.
Not as bad as the mustard. It's not as off-putting as the mustard, but it's pretty, I mean.
There's a lot it's like, aftertaste.
There's like pear, berry. Mm-hmm. I feel like I bit a petal of a flower.
Yes, I still have the petals.
Right, petals still there. Like, I feel like I just gnawed on it for a while.
Maybe my palate is lacking, but I feel like all of these ciders for me have been super simple. Like, one flavor throughout for the most part. I mean, there's a little bit of variation, but
I think this one had the most, like, blow up in your face kind of
palate. Like, change in
flavor. Yeah, there's just so many going on right now. The rest of them, I agree with you on the rest of them.
Yeah.
I think my least favorite was the Angry Orchard just because it's so sweet and it comes at you with just sugar.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of people who will get Angry Orchard and then do a shot of Porter's Fire or Fireball. And, you know, that sweetness and then kind of that cinnamon go together. Mm-hmm. But this one is, yeah, different for sure.
Yeah.
But cider's not bad. I mean, it's a different – I mean, it's fun that – we take Bristol into – introducing Bristol into the beer world, and then we kind of take it – because this is the first time we've done non-beers on this podcast.
We did seltzers.
Ah, we did seltzers.
And cocktails.
So I take that back, Bristol. This is another version of what we're doing because, again, we're trying to introduce, you know, craft beer, the craft behind this. There's a lot of people out there that are blogging about beers, and there's – talk about beers and whatnot, and that's, you know, it's great, awesome, we should bring appreciation to it, but Wyatt and I are trying to just help people understand that there's a lot out there and that it's okay to try them, and there's some good, there's some bad, not everyone's gonna like it. I don't agree with everything Wyatt tastes or likes, vice versa.
And I
like that we can always have that wide variety of kind of trying different things.
Is this the lowest alcohol percentage one that we've tried?
4.5. Mm-hmm.
I think
on the Magners.
Even our sessions was
five on the dot, right?
Five. You know what's interesting is ciders, this like range anywhere from 3 to 14% ABV. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think session was a thing. I thought they were all just ciders. Because like I've never seen an imperial cider.
I've never heard of an imperial cider.
And this one's not. This one just says cider. It's not a session cider. It's just a cider, and it's less than the session cider that we already tried. Like, ciders are interesting. The alcohol percentage varies so much depending on when you pull it. It's like I tried making a cider last year because we had apple trees. And picked some apples and juiced them and put them in a growler with a balloon on top. And I tasted it, like, after the first week, I tasted it every day for the next 3 weeks. And
then
bottled it. And after the first week, it was sweet and bubbly and a little crisp. It was really nice. And then it just kind of started to get really, really dry. And when I finally bottled it, it was like ultra dry. Like, I think I bottled it way too dry. I haven't drank it since then. I've got like 5 bottles of it in my fridge.
We'll see how long it lasts. I mean, according to the research,
I think we're going to have to try soon.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give some to Bristol because I don't think I'll.
Could be bad. Could be good. Who knows? Right. All you got to do is try it.
But like their alcohol percentage now is like, I think like. I want to say it's like 8 or 9%. It's not like crazy high, but it's higher than any of these.
Yeah.
And it was way drier than any of these. It may have even gotten higher since I bottled it because it was so long ago. It was like months and months ago that I bottled them. So, but when I first tried it, I measured the alcohol content of it when I first tried it and it was like sweet and crisp and bubbly. Because now it's not bubbly, it's just flat. it was like 4% or something like that. After that first week, it was like 4% ABV. And then when I finally bottled it 3 weeks later, it was like 8 or 9% ABV. So I think a big part of it is how long you take to bottle the cider. So something that's lower, like this one seems to be a lot sweeter than the Mountain West ciders.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because they stopped the fermentation earlier. The Mountain West, they let it go a little bit longer. I don't know if that dictates a session, because like a session in beer is you use essentially more water with the same grains if you want to make the same beer. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's the simple way of putting it in a nutshell. Ciders, all you have is juice. Like when you make cider, you make it with juice. And the way I made it is I just used the natural yeast that was on the apples. I didn't boil it to kill the yeast. I just kind of spontaneous fermentation.
Right.
Some people add yeast. That's totally cool, whatever. But I don't know, man. It's interesting, like, that they would call it a session when it's only a session compared to their other ciders.
Right, and how are they comparing it? It's not really right. A table to compare it to.
The session feels like it, instead of pulling it sooner to have a little bit sweeter cider, it feels like they added water to kind of water it down.
Yeah.
So I wonder how they went about that.
I feel like the tartness would overpower it. If you did too tart, it'd be like puckering and kind of, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, to make a session, so, like, if you pulled it a week earlier, 5 days earlier, so like the Ruby, for example, is 6.8% and the 7 Mile is 5%. 7 Mile is their session. To make a session cider, I would just pull it sooner off of the fermentation. It just tastes like they watered it down.
Right.
You know, like, do you guys get that as well?
Yeah.
Crazy?
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's interesting to me that they would like call it a session when I think it still fits the style guidelines of a regular cider.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an interesting like marketing choice, I guess.
Well, where do you put it on mustard? Where does mustard fit in sessions world? Jesus Christ. I mean,
still hitting for you.
Huh? I can't. I mean, I've never tasted something and just thought, I need a brat right now. I can't get over that.
Yeah.
It's still lingering, isn't it, Briss?
Yes. Yes, yeah. And you can smell the mustard, too. You can taste it and smell it.
Which, if people hate mustard, I mean, that'd be off-putting at the get-go.
I'd laugh if it turns out that, like, Holly's downstairs making brats with mustard or something. Oh, my God.
And I would die. I would bring it down and be like, pair this now! But, Bristle, that does it for ciders. I mean...
You want to try the Strongbow?
Oh, Strongbow. I forgot we had one more. This one's Strongbow. I totally forgot about this one. This one is from Heineken. This one, Heineken distributes this one.
Really?
Yes.
Original dry Strongbow. Uh-huh.
Strongbow is a dry cider produced by H.P. Bulmer, which is the same people who do the one we just drank, the Magner. And Heineken is a subsidiary of the same company. And they both come in the same can.
I was going to say, they've got the same can.
Same can. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, this one looks like apple juice.
Color looks pretty much the same. This one looks a little bit lighter.
This one has it feels like it's dry hopped. I don't know if it's still lingering from the other ones we've tasted, but this one is – I get a lot of pear apple, and it's – it's on the nose. Wow. Interesting.
It smells dry.
But it's mildly sweet. Well, go ahead and you guys try it. But for me, it's mildly sweet. It smells dry. You're right. But to me, it's that – kind of nice, in between.
A nice balance of tartness there.
Right. And sweetness.
I like how ciders balance, where in beer you balance bitterness and sweetness with malt and hops. I like how ciders balance tartness and sweetness with when you stop the fermentation and apple choice. It's interesting.
And apple choice could be a huge role in that.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I wonder, like, green apple, red apple, yellow apple. I mean, so many apples. I want to know what...
Dude, let's go pick some apples and make a cider. Super easy.
I'm down. Let's go. What do you think, Briss?
I like this one.
Yeah, super crushable.
This one's easy to drink.
Yeah. And it's very well balanced.
It's not super sweet, but it does have a good sweetness to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does have a little – yeah, I'm feeling like the tartness on my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very clean.
Clean, I like that.
Yeah.
Very clean.
Clean, balanced.
This one is supposedly, as of 2011, the number one most imported cider – in the States. Interesting.
It's easily the most crushable cider that we've had.
I think it's very easy. I mean, to me, it's very crushable. I'd put this at 10. Is that, am I off putting to say that?
No.
10? What do you think, Brist? This one, which one's your favorite out of all the ones we tried?
I think that the Strongbow is definitely a contender. I also, if I'm remembering correctly, like the Stella Artois.
The Stella Cider was great. I did like that one as well.
I might want to take another hit off that.
Yeah.
The one I did not like, or it's the last, is the Magners. There was just too much going on there, and I didn't like the I'm eating flower petals feeling.
Yeah. So mustard beat flower petals.
Yeah.
Right.
So you'd rather eat mustard over flower petals. Interesting.
Well, the Magners was like just a clusterfuck of flavors.
It was too much.
This one is balanced.
A medley of just in your face. Yeah, you're right.
David, what was your favorite cider?
I'm going to go for cider. I mean, the mustard one is a contender for number one spot. I was going to be tied, okay? But I honestly think the Cottonwood was my favorite because it was dry hopped. But for just crushability, I'd go with Stella and Strongbow. Like those two were – but that Cottonwood, because it was dry hopped, it to me was like drinking a wine, and I love wine. I'm a wine snob, and so that reminded me of wine. So I go towards the Cottonwood, and then I'd go for like – if I'm just doing ciders, it'd be the Stella and the Strongbow.
Yeah, I'm my top two are the Stella and the Strongbow because the Stella is sweeter and the Strongbow is more tart.
Yeah.
But they both have a really –
great balance.
Like
– just combine the two, Bristol, and see what happens.
Yeah, just mix them. We've got a mix of all the ciders we've tried right here.
Wyatt loves to drink it at the very end. Our slosh bucket.
Drink the slosh.
But, I mean, Bristol right now is currently pouring half Strongbow and half Stella cider. So, Bristol, let us know what you think.
It's going to be a perfect balance, I can tell.
Bristol is a scientist drinking. For the name of science, Bristol, what do you think?
It's a winner.
Perfect combo. So the best, nice. If you guys have a Strongbow and a Stella Artois cider, feel free to combine both of them.
Mix them.
And they'll be the strong cider.
Yeah. Does it match refreshing. Your? Does it match your hypothesis?
It does match my hypothesis.
Boom.
That's wonderful.
Beautiful.
That's a Goldilocks cider right there.
Oh my God. I love that. We'll call it the Goldilocks. Bristol has found it. Not too hot, not too cold.
I wonder if he makes like the dry. I feel like the driest one was the Ruby and the Angry Orchard. Was definitely the sweetest. Could we find the same Goldilocks mixing the driest and the sweetest?
Go for it.
Now that we're playing games.
So while White does that one, I will say, guys, if you guys have anything out there, hit us up, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Part of the reason why Bristol is back on here is she's asked us to come back on for different kind of beers and to educate and open her palate. Again, reach out to us. We'd love to bring you on the show, talk about what you want to talk about. We have so many beers, so many options. White and I have so many episodes coming out. Let us know if you have any comments, questions. We're there for you. Wyatt, what do you think?
This was fun. I want to drink ciders now. I want to drink all sorts of things.
Yeah.
That's
why we're the taste masters and not the beer masters or the wine masters or the liquor masters. We're tasting things.
I feel like a better name for us would be the taste students, but it just doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well.
Right.
Like maybe the taste idiots sometimes.
Taste
Padawans. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Might have to change the name.
I think Disney might charge us.
The Padawans of taste.
Padawans of taste.
Yeah.
But that does
be right up there with like the Renegades of Funk. If I ever started a brewery that was a Belgian brewery, I would call it the Renegades of Funk.
I love it. But Bristol, thanks for joining us on this cider episode. That does it for us on ciders. But you're coming back next time for episode 3 with you?
Absolutely.
Bristol part 3. Okay, let us know what you want to drink. Wyatt, anything else you got for us?
Dude, I'm good. I'm all right.
Well, there you go. Just gotta have
ready
it.
Ready for some brats.
Let's go get. We're going to go enjoy some brats and mustard cider. So for those, we'll let you guys know how it goes. But until the next beverage or mustard.
Until the next beverage.
Until the next brat, bros.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. This has been David and Wyatt on Taste Masters.